could we all stand? Amen. I just want to greet and welcome everyone in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have gathered in this evening to witness the wedding ceremony of our precious brother Neil and our beloved sister Suzanne. I just want to sing a couple choruses. Let's just sing this chorus: to God be the glory for the things He has done.
Thank you.
all the days of our lives. We indeed thankful to be here in His presence this evening. Can we also sing this little chorus? Singing, I love you, Lord. Everyone just sing it from the depths of their hearts and express that love unto the Lord.
Gracious Heavenly Father, gracious God, we are so thankful this evening to feel your great Holy Spirit already here in the midst of your people. Lord, you know that was the desire of our hearts that you would come and visit us, Lord, with your great presence here today, knowing today being a special day for each and every one of us, especially our brother Neil and Sister Suzanne. Dear God, we thank you, Father. Lord God, we have the assurance that it's going to be a great and wonderful time. Lord, a memorable event that we'll hold precious in our hearts down through the years that we'd live, oh God. And Father, we pray today that you will just bless everyone that they have invited to be gathered here as witnesses of this great event, Father. Lord God, we pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will touch every heart and every life in a special way. Oh God, you draw us up right into your great divine presence and you administer unto each and every one of us. Lord, your great magnificent holy blessings rest upon our brother and our sister today. And oh God, all that will be said and done will bring glory to your name. And you would be seen in your presence felt in a special way. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for your sake. Amen. God richly bless you. We certainly appreciate everyone being here in the house of God today to witness this marriage ceremony of our brother Neil Keyser and our sister Suzanne Murray. We certainly appreciate you coming and being a witness to this wonderful event that is taking place here this evening. Amen. Before you have your seats, we'd like to read a portion of scripture here. It's found in 1 Corinthians 11. You can listen to how it read. It reads in this wise, 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And continue in verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And one portion again, verse 16, Genesis chapter 3. One little portion would like to read. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall have rule over thee. May God has blessed you with his word. You may have your seat. Want everyone to feel welcome this evening? Amen. It's a certainly wonderful experience always to be in a wedding ceremony. And it just makes so real to us as we look in an amateur form what is happening here this evening is what is taking place in God's economy, that the bridegroom is here. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Bible says, at midnight there's a loud cry, behold the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And seeing that what is happening here is just in a little symbol form of this great thing, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is being united with his bride in this hour, he the head of the church and the church his body. And this evening, just for the next few moments, while we just kind of get settled and speak a little bit, just to create a little feeling in our hearts, just have the atmosphere right, that we all could be in one mind as we would come to the climax of the service, which would be the wedding ceremony, where the vows would take place. And it's always something about a wedding that, you know, you could look right away and you don't have to have much revelation to tell who is the bridegroom and who is the bride. Amen. They stand out in a crowd like this. They're singled out. Amen. Have a special identification that you can look for and identify and say, that's the bride. Amen. And you can look around right quick and then find the bridegroom also. And you know, today the bridegroom presence is kind of unrecognized. And the bride, you know, so many claims of who the bride really is. But here this evening, because of the characteristic of the bridegroom and the bride, they can be easily identified. And so we believe that if we know how to identify the true bridegroom, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his bride, it will be very easy. And if there's one that would desire to be in that bride, to be identified in this great thing that is taking place, if there's a call and a longing in their heart to find that reality, maybe this evening, looking at this little symbol here, it could open up that each and every one who may not be a Christian would desire to be a Christian and to serve the Lord. Something in their heart, they just want to know what is true and to be identified with it. It could become so real in a little gathering like this evening. I would like to maybe just for a little next 4 or 5 minutes to speak on a lily for a champion. A lily for a champion. Because I might sound a little kind of crude expression, but you know, in these crude expressions, we find great truth that could really bring something real to our hearts. Something about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because seeing that the center of attraction here this evening, in this natural realm, is our brother Neil and our sister Suzanne, because they are the ones that is going to be joined together in holy matrimony. And we have gathered here to witness their wedding ceremony. And the very word Neil, I was looking it up, it means a champion. You know, and I think he's a champion, amen. And Susan means a lily. You know, and it means, you know, sometimes, you know, there's something in a name. And it reflects a certain character. And, you know, their parents are here. And maybe when they drop from the mother's womb, something move upon their parents that is going to give them those respective names. And here today, the parents are here to witness the very children that they gave birth to and have raised being joined together. And it's a great experience because it's a turning point in their lives. And just to speak about them a little bit, because they typify the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. And in speaking about them, maybe something would come out to cause us to see and understand the one we love so much, our Lord Jesus Christ, a little better. And, you know, a champion, it means one that holds first place. And I believe, you know, he's a champion in his own right, and this evening he's a champion right here because he holds first place. Amen. Superior to all others. And he's going to walk away with the bride here this evening, all dressed in such a special gathering. And, you know, she dressed and in such a beautiful array, and have all the fine music being played, and all their eyes turned as they begin to play that special, "Here Comes the Bride," and all eyes turned, maybe not on me, not on some brother or some sister here, but all eyes, not on the decorations or the, you know, the musicians or anything, but they were fastened on the bride. Because from the moment that piece of music began to be played, it was an indication that the bride is coming into view. And all eyes fasten the bride because she holds a special attraction here this evening. And to see how beautifully arrayed that she was there coming in to be given away. Amen. How many times she walked in this assembly here? How many times she walked into this building here? But have always gone back out, you know, back to her parents' home. But it's going to be a little different this evening because she's going to be given away today. Amen. And the father coming in there with his daughter at his side, he knows in his heart that, you know, she was called by his name all these years, but this evening she's going to take the name of another. She's going to come under the headship and the jurisdiction of another. And he's happy for that because ever since she was born and being a girl in the family and being grown up there in the family, being trained in the household, he knows that one day they will have to give her away. But the joy is that there would be one who would love her as they love her. Amen. They try to raise and try to provide for her and give her the love and the security and all these things that they could have the assurance in their heart is a real fine young Christian man that they could place her in the hands of. One with the Holy Spirit, one who is following no other but the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. And truly to give her over to a champion is really a great thing. Amen. And it says also it means one who wins first prize in a contest. You know, and she being a very fine, attractive young girl, growing up in the assembly here, I know no doubt there was many eyes of many young men, you know, who might have been looking at her and seeing the virtue and the quality of a real Christian. You know, and she's going to make a real home. She wasn't a girl of the flair of the world and these things. She's always a homely type. You know, always a meek and quiet spirit. But finally, the champion comes out. He comes first in the contest. Amen. Amen. And it says, one who fights for or defends or supports a cause or another person. And truly, I know he's going to be true to this cause. Amen. To be a real husband. Amen. A real head of the home. A real example in the home. And not only that, as a champion, you know, you want to give something to a champion, something of honor. And a lily means, you know, when you use the word lily, it's really a flower. It's a flower, and we know the nature and the character of a lily because the word Susan means a lily. And there's something about that lily that is, you find it in there's all kind of lilies. There's the lily of the valley, which is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It's called lily of the valley. And in His preaching, He preached about the lily also. He says, consider the lily of the field, neither toil nor spin. But Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these lilies. Amen. I tell you, you know, see a lily like this just come, and you know, then you have the expression, you double lily white. Say, brother, this is lily white. You know, because a lily is having showy of variously colored and often trumpet-shaped flowers. Most lilies is shaped like a trumpet. And it says very showy. You know, the one thing you could see is a little showy here this evening. Amen. It just holds true to the character of the lily. And you know, they speak about lily white. Something is lily white. It means it's beyond reproach. And she's not just, her gum is not just white. I tell you, her heart is white. Amen. Her character is unspotted. Amen. Beyond reproach. Blameless. Pure. Also like lily in beauty or purity or whiteness. They associate the word lily with those things. And I think, you know, that here this evening, a lily for a champion. A Suzanne to be given over to Neil, a lily for a champion. And seeing the character of a lily, how it presses its way up. It's determined it's not going to stay down there in the muck and the mire, down in the bottom of the water there, in the murky, dark waters. There's something in the lily that pushes itself up. Amen. And only to find it is because there's a power that's drawing it, the power of the sun. The S-O-N, amen, has drawn this lily out of the world to where she is today. That she could be here dressed and arrayed in white to be a symbol of the purity. Amen. Beyond reproach. Amen. That his church really speaks of. Because she's the sinless, spotless, virtuous bride beyond reproach. Amen. And, you know, being a young at heart and young in age. But there was something about them I'd just like to speak before we just come to the place of they're taking the vows. Something about them. That maybe you could say something here this evening that could be part of the event that they will hold as a memorable one for the rest of their lives. Because they have been trained in the Word, they've grown up in the Word, they've been Christians for many years now, and they have seen in the Word of God what God requires and have had virtuous Christian lives, stable homes, stable marriages as examples and associates that can be a real godly influence in their lives as they are now stepping into this new phase of their lives as husband and wife. First, a young Christian boy and a young Christian girl, but now they're taking the role of being a husband, being a wife, and then would go on to raise a family to the Lord tarry, and knowing that this is the blessing that goes with the marriage covenant, that it'll be fruitful and multiply, that, you know, they would enter also into the role of parents. And it's things that they maybe look at and have thought about it, that one day they would come into this place. And here they are standing at the point of no return. To take that vow, there will be no looking back. It will be till death do us part. But the love that fills someone's heart and the divine revelation of God providing the right mate for them, they can take that without fear. They take it with joy because the greatest thing that God can give a man out of the salvation is a Christian wife. Amen. And speaking a little bit about the girl first, the lily. A girl's life in a home. I was thinking about that. When I'd come to the wedding, I would speak a few words about them and to leave something that would be a lasting influence with them. I was thinking of what would be appropriate. And then knowing that they are young and, you know, they would be facing this responsibility. And like many of us have already been married many years now and has raised a family for the Lord and is still raising a family and still reflecting back on the vows that we have taken. and what it means, and growing more and more and maturing where we can truly express the true relationship that would reflect Christ and His church in our homes, with our wives, to prove it is a true and successful marriage. Not just to have a wife or to have children, but to reflect the mystery of Christ and His church. And, you know, a young girl in her home, her life has been a life of preparation. She has been prepared. The parents would know the time when she maybe come to teenage and she begin to go through the change of life as a young girl would go through. And her thoughts would be on little dollies and these things. As she would accompany the mother in the kitchen and the home. And becoming skilled in the role of taking care of the home. And maybe have helped taking care of the little children in the home, the younger ones. And all of that was a training. Taking care of the little baby brother. And taking care of the little baby sister. Amen. It was a preparation. It is the character that was being molded that caused this young man here to see virtue, see beyond a nice hair comb and a nice fashionable dress, but see the qualities that would make a mother, see the qualities that would establish a home. You know, sometimes you see some young girls, they don't want to soil the nice dress. They wouldn't pick up a little crying baby. You know, they'd kind of tell them, go to your mommy or go and do this. But then you'd see when there's a mother, she'd go and pick the child up and dry his tears and kind of rock him and help put him to sleep or something. And real sons of God with the Holy Ghost, they look at those things. They notice those things more than nice, you know, neatly on the outside, well-dressed or something. That goes with it too, but they look for the character. They look for the sacred motherhood. They look for the sacred womanhood. And knowing that is a time of preparation, and one day that she will raise a family, that she must leave a home. And a home is like a little training ground that you'll have to leave one day and then go to a home where there won't be a mommy and there won't be a daddy, that she will be the mommy in that home. And daddy would be the husband that she'd have to take care of. And the children would not be the little baby brother or little baby sister, but be the one that she would bear as a blessing of a fruitful womb. And when we look at it in the word, it's a great calling. Bible says, just as one is called to preach and one is gifted with music, to play the music and these things, so God has placed one to be a mother, Christian mother, to raise children, defend the admonition of God, to establish a home that reflect Christ. That the home will be a little Garden of Eden. That God's original blessing and covenant could be reflected in that home and can carry the beauty of a Christian home, which there are so few upon the face of the earth today. And what a great challenge that is. In an age where all these absolutes and all these values and these things have become like relics, and modern civilization have eradicated these things, and the modern lifestyle have taken over. But yet there are some dedicated as they come this evening with a veiled head, showing that she have no head of her own. The Bible says the husband is the head of the wife. It takes a great gift in a woman in this age to cover her head and come to her husband, not as just part of a fashion or a headdress for a wedding ceremony, but with a divine revelation. And when she comes with her head covered, she comes like Rebecca when she veiled herself to meet Isaac, testifying she's coming to her head. She have no thoughts of her own. She's coming in lowly submission. I know our sister have come that way this evening. That's the way she has been taught in the Word of God. That's the way she understands that what the role of a bride, of a, of a wife is. And when she gets in that home, she'll have to draw from all her resources. She'll not be able to go and take up a book on how to be a wife, or take up a book on how to be a mother. She'll have to draw from the resources in her own life, in her bringing up, that was in her training. While she was in her home, looking at her mother and father, especially since when they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and sitting under the word of God and the word coming and being ministering unto her as she grew in grace and in knowledge of the Lord, that today would be the beginning, would be the ushering in of a ministry that she has been called to fulfill in this life. Just like an ordination ceremony, a minister who might have been in training and coming to be ordained as a minister to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth where God would have him, to go and preach the gospel. So she's coming to take her marriage vow, but knowing it's the beginning of the role, of the ministry, of the calling in life that she's predestined to. In an age where women don't want to bear children, that she'll bear children for her husband. In an age where women don't want that responsibility, that she would fulfill that responsibility. And, you know, her mind and her heart must be for a household. It's a great challenge. Sometimes a woman in a home without maybe the most modern conveniences and might have to face the task of laboring in a home and working hard. But the joy of knowing the husband is out toiling, out in the world, trying to earn a living, trying to make life comfortable for her, to give her the security, to make the home comfortable, that she could truly feel that in her heart it was a blessing that God could have united them together. Because the home now would be the environment where she would serve God and where she would fulfill that ministry. And where she would labor with faithful hands. Hands, you know, the prophet of God says, he says, the hands of a wife, sometimes the husband come home from the toils of the day, all full of tension, from toiling to earn a living, the stress of this neurotic age. And he could come home not to go and look at a TV to get some relief, but he could come on and the hands of his wife that could minister to him, that could caress him, that could stroke him, that can make him feel welcome back into the home at the setting of the sun when he come home from toiling in the heat of the day. He said those hands could take away all the stress, could take away all the tension. Amen, wives? From the husband. Faithful hands that have labored to prepare the meal, to give it hot when he comes home in the evening. Because she is living in a home under the responsibility that she's a wife. Holding those sacred trusts, her sacred virtue. That she has that sacred responsibility. That she too, as he is laboring to minister to her, the things that she would need in this life, that she don't have to go out there and toil because her place is in the home. So she knows that when he comes home, she must minister to him also. And the love that causes him to go out and toil and labor in the heat of the day amidst all the conditions outside and the persecutions, being a Christian, to bring home to his wife. So she, in her home, understands those things. And she sees the dedication, the faithfulness. And she looks forward when he comes home that he'll be the lion in his castle. He'll be the king in his den. Amen. Hallelujah. She knows it's not just a life of fanfare. She knows it don't end today. She knows it begins today. A contented wife. One who ambition is to please her husband. Not just how much her husband could give unto her of the things of this world, but what she could give to her husband. what you could contribute to a home, to make it stable, to hold it together, to be the encouragement to a husband, knowing that he forsake father and mother to cleave unto his wife. Amen. Amen. And then the young man who has served God, and he'll now be tried and proven and tested. Oh, he knew about the word since he was in short pants. Going in the house of God diligently, as I always watch him over them years. Here today he stands, full of salvation and ready to receive his bride from the hand of Almighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. To go forth and establish his home. Now we have the responsibility where you'll have to lead a family. Where he'll not be one who is easily influenced. Oh, by this idea and that idea. Now he must provide stability for his home. He must provide inspiration to lead his family. That he can be an example to them. That his wife could find out the true Christian that he really is. That she could see now in the home beyond what she saw in the house of God. Somebody just come in and sit on the platform or something. She could find out he's a Christian down to the bone and the marrow. Down to the soul and the spirit. Amen. He's a real virtuous Christian. He's a gentleman. That she could find that she's secure in his presence. Nothing to be afraid of. Don't have to run to mommy or daddy. Don't have to be looking over her shoulder. Don't have to be wondering if she's going to be dominated or take advantage of. But she could relax and she could rest and she could submit when she finds there the real character and see the blessing, how God taught about her to provide for her the husband who would provide her with the right leadership and influence in her life. I believe that. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. It's necessary. You know when you're a young man, you look for your friends to advise. This one tell you that, this one tell you that, this one tell you the other now. No, but you're a man now. The head of the man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And he receives from Christ by walking with the master. He learned the ways of the master. And the influence of Christ in his life will influence his wife and his home. That his children, when God would bless him, would look at him and could call him father. Amen. Hallelujah. Could call him daddy. Could look to him and understand the relationship between the father and the son that we read so much of in the Bible. But to be successful, it's going to require a real close walk with God, from whom the strength and the inspiration that is needed to lead your family, especially in these kind of times, he's the only one can come from to really, truly lead your family to be responsible for. And as the head of the wife and the family, true Christian example is absolutely necessary. Amen. Because if there's been spiritual progress, and if there's been maturity come in the family, stability come in the family, it's going to depend on what kind of head the home has. It's going to depend upon what kind of example that is portrayed in that environment. A godly spirit-filled life, full of faith and wisdom and the fruits of the Spirit, is the only kind of influence that could really train up children in this rebellious age of rebellion. Train up children the way they would go. Holy Spirit that can come forth in a godly life with a real godly influence that could leave the kind of footprints in the sands of time for your family to walk in and follow. Especially in these times to really stabilize and anchor a family, to keep them together. As the little saying goes, the family that prays together will stay together. Must be one with a man of prayer who knows God and can call him on the scene. Amen. Because now he's not just responsible for his own self now, he'll be responsible for his wife. A man will have to answer for his wife. And that is why, as they come here this evening, we realize that in times like these, when we could have a prayer in our heart for them, especially we who have walked a few miles in these moccasins already, and knowing that they're going to put on some of these moccasins here this evening to walk in these footsteps, that we could have that prayer for them, knowing that it's a challenge. But it's a calling in their life that God has called them. And as you equip them and train them, and will continue to train them and develop them, that they might be a true Christian testimony in the neighborhood where God would place them, among all those that God would cause them to come in contact with, and wherever He would choose their lives, there would be an example to reflect that in these times there still are true Christian marriages, true Christian homes, sons and daughters of God still walking in the original blessing, fulfilling every requirement that God required in the beginning when He established the sacred institution of marriage. If you get ready to change your service, we have a little song at this time from our sister Sharon James. She's going to sing, "Oh Perfect Love is the Only Love, God's Own Love." We're trusting that we should be shed abroad so richly in the hearts of our brother and our sister this evening, and we'll join them together as one. May God really bless her, and may it go down into not just the hearts of these, but flow out, overflow into every marriage couple here this evening, into every home.
to that day.
Shall we all stand?
I'm forward.
Amen. Who will I ask for this woman to be bride to this man? Dearly beloved, we've gathered here in the face of this company, in the presence of God, to join together in holy matrimony, this man and this woman, which is honorable and declared by Saint Paul among all men. It is therefore not by any to be entered into unadvisably or lightly, but reverently, discreetly, advisably, soberly, and in the fear of God. Into this holy state, these two persons present come now to be joined. If there is anyone here that can show a just cause why they should not be lawfully joined in this holy matrimony, let them now speak or forever hold their peace. I will require and will charge you both, and you will surely answer at the day of judgment, when the secrets of all hearts shall be disclosed. And if either of you know any impediment why you should not be lawfully joined together in this holy matrimony, do you now confess it? For be it assured unto you that any persons that are joined otherwise than God's word does allow, their marriage is not lawful. But believing that you have duly considered this solemn obligation that you are about to assume, that you prepare to enter upon the same reverently, discreetly, wisely, and in the fear of God, I shall propose to you the marriage covenant. You will declare the same as you join your right hands. Will you take this woman to be a lawful wedded wife, to live together in this holy state of matrimony? Do you promise to love, honor, and cherish in sickness and health, riches or poverty, and will forsake all others and cleave thee only unto her as long as you both live? Will you take this man to be a lawful wedded husband, to live together in this holy matrimony? Do you promise to love, honor, cherish in sickness and health, riches or poverty, and will forsake all others and cleave thee only unto him as long as you both live? I will require a token of you that this covenant betwixt you that's been made will always be kept. Amen. Some very precious looking rings here. But how much greater when we have the understanding that now they have made their vows from the depths of their heart to one another in the presence of all these witnesses, in the presence of Almighty God, in the presence of his holy angels, That covenant now is to be sealed by this ring, which is a token of the love and the commitment they have in their hearts, one towards the other. It's also a memorial that which has been vowed today is symbolized by this ring. In the olden days, a married woman would wear a tablet of coins upon her forehead, signifying that she was a married woman, that she belonged to someone, that she took a sacred vow to become that man's wife. So it is here again today. Times may have changed, but God's word remains the same. Isn't that lovely? Amen. You just feel it. Love in their hearts, one for the other. Amen. Just beating as one. I think times like these, may God help each and every one of us to photograph it in our hearts and hold it dear, what it means to take a real loyal vow. God's prophet says, a man don't trust beauty of a woman, that's going to fade away. You trust in the loyalty of a vow. Amen. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes. Almighty God, you who performed the first wedding ceremony back in the Garden of Eden, you are that God that we serve. How we thank you for your word that you have given unto us. It has been an example for us that we could come, Lord, to the divine channel that you have laid out in your word, knowing, dear God, that if one come on the same basis, Lord, you are the unchanging God who cannot change. What you did the first time is right, and you'll have to honor it if someone would come and approach on the same basis another time. And with this faith in our hearts, Father, so we come asking your gracious blessings on our brother Neil and our sister Suzanne. Lord, seeing you have brought them together and you have joined their hearts together in love, we know that this thing proceeded out from the Lord. And how thankful we are, Father, to see the beauty of a Christian marriage, the grace of God, the working of the Holy Spirit, binding them together, Lord, causing them to fulfill and reflect your word that you have given unto us as example, and how bright it shines today in this dark hour that we live in. So many homes are falling apart, and this seems to become something of an ancient thing, but Lord, the scripture becomes alive again to us this evening as we stand here in your great presence and we see the great manifestation of the fulfilling of the word of God here today, and the blessing of the Holy Spirit, the streams of grace pouring down from heaven in our midst, into their hearts, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray you would so equip them, Lord, with the divine love, with the power of your Holy Spirit, as they go forth to establish their home, Lord. Father, in this hour when it's a great challenge, the marriage life, all hell coming against it, for Satan knows that that is a channel that reflects Christ in the church, the true mystery, how he has perverted everything, Father, and how he has tried to pervert this also. But Lord, I know, Lord God, you are more than able, for your word says, what shall separate us from the love of God is in Christ Jesus? Shall famine or pestilence or persecution or tribulation? Yeah, no things present or past or things to come, no height, no depth, no length, no breadth, no angels, no principalities, no powers that can ever separate them from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Let not be so real in their hearts, Lord. Oh, God, even like Ruth when she cried, where of course will I go? Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, will I die? Let that kind of pledge, let that kind of commitment, Lord, be in their hearts one for the other today. Oh, gracious God, even the challenge of parenthood and all these things they would face, may the great Holy Spirit that is here now so be shed abroad in their hearts and fill them with love and cause their hearts to beat as one, Father. And may you bless them. May you grant them peace and joy and happiness. Oh, God, may they live full, contented lives. Oh, God, full of the grace of God and the Holy Spirit. And Lord God, may you make them fruitful, oh, God, and cause them to multiply and give them offspring to carry, Lord, the name, oh, God, and establish the home. And, Father, I pray, oh, God, that you'd make them such a blessing. Lord, they walk will come close to you. Lord God, each one be a real encouragement to the other. Lord, in this marriage relationship, Lord, as two Christians, you have brought together a son and daughter of God. I pray, dear Father, the Lord God, you would meet every need, and their faith would increase as it would grow in knowledge and grace, as they continue to serve you, Lord, and live close to you in this hour. Bless them, Father. May they be lacking in nothing, I pray. And oh, God, may even as in the Bible, all them great relationships, oh God, of Isaac and Rebecca and Abraham and Sarah and Boaz and Ruth and Joseph and Mary, oh God, so reflected this great mystery of Christ in the church. May they draw from these things, these channels of inspiration, and may their life be so full of that inspiration that can be exemplified and it can reflect, oh God, this one more time in their lives. Granted, Father, we pray, we ask His blessings as we commit them into your hands, asking your continued leadership and direction to lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and ask these things for your honor and for your glory. Amen. Now, by the power of my commission, given to me by Almighty God to be His servant, and ministered to me by the Holy Spirit, I pronounce this man and this woman husband and wife in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. You are married. Whatsoever God joins together, let no man put asunder. Amen. That was kind of quick. No wonder they're going on a 2 weeks honeymoon. Amen. Praise the wonderful name. You may have your seats. As we have a song at this time while they would come together to sign the marriage certificates.
Fantasy and all only thing to show. Took the veil from off her face, placed it in the amazing way, and as she placed it on his shoulder, she said, "Rule me forevermore."
Wonderful wedding ceremony, isn't it? I know the Holy Spirit is here. Let's just have a word of prayer as we allow them to go out, and then we have one more song, so they will go out quietly while the others will come and sing. Oh, gracious Father, we so thank you this evening. Such a great presence here among the people. Lord, truly, when one will be faithful to you and serve you and stay true to your word, you stand with them, Father. And Lord, as our brother and our sister, we leave this place walking out now as man and wife. Oh God, how it makes us think that one of these days you're going to come and take us away from this world straight to the wedding supper of the Lamb. We look forward for that great time, Father. Lord God, whenever we come in a occasion like this, it brings these things so much closer, especially when we know the hour that we are living in. May you bless each and every one that is here. Bless the remaining part of the evening. May it be a wonderful outpouring of love and fellowship, Lord, when we get down the end of reception. Maybe a time of festivity and joyfulness and happiness, and may the people be so integrated together, Lord. And Lord God, may your blessing just flow from heart to heart. And we would leave this place. May your great presence go with each and every one. We thank you, Father, for everything in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Come see what I have found in the dust of the ground, a pearl of great price, a jewel for my crown. A gentle love in her eyes, but a word she won't despise, such a jewel is rare to find. She's like an Easter flower, rock of ages that shelter. Her beauty, her character is undefined. She is my bride, she is my virtuous wife, she is my bride, today and forever. I've suffered much pain before I can take my claim, but she was chosen long ago to bear my name. We shared years of intimacy. She was the great mystery in me. She's flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. She is my bride, she is my virtuous wife, she is my bride, today and forever.
You know, it is written that blessed is the man who can find a virtuous wife. In a time when the daughters of men are feared, but what is beauty without character anyway? Just vanity. So sons of God, turn your eyes away from that wild stare. Look for the virtues of sacred motherhood, a meek and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of the Lord. And such virtues you can only find in the daughters of God, who like Leah, Rachel, did build the house of Israel, bringing forth sons and daughters of God to worship and bless his holy name. And when you have found such a woman, then you can truly say,
she is my bride, she is my virtuous wife,
my love will keep her all away. At my side, she'll always stay. We're united by my promises, and I'll keep my word. She'll never be alone. Together we'll share a future home. My bride will sit with me upon my throne. Oh, she is my bride. She is my virtuous wife. She is my bride. Today and forever. She is my bride. My virtuous wife, she is my bride. Today.